Rochelle Farrow Show. Welcome, welcome. I'm so glad you are all joining us. We have a great, great show today. We are having Andrew Russell Davis with us and Rose Campbell. And they are going to be channeling the Princess Diana and talking about what she is saying from the other side. So this is going to be an absolutely fabulous show. Welcome, welcome. Rose?
Yes.
Hello.
Hi, Rochelle.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
I'm so glad you can join us. Andrew, are you here with us? Andrew? Andrew. Well, all right, let me call John.
Okay, now you get three channelers together. This is what's going to happen.
Now I can hear you.
Energy, yeah.
I can hear you now.
Okay, wonderful. I'm so glad you're here with us. Finally, we can get you all three together. All two of us and three of us together. So this is wonderful. Can you talk about your work, Andrew?
Yeah, basically, I've been voice channeling Diana since 1997, September the 7th, having met her, well, not met her physically, as in talking, but basically she knocked me down nearly in her car, of all things, as it says on her website. It's all documented there, www.dianaspeaks.com. The reason I'm giving that is because there won't be time, obviously, on one program just for everything to be assimilated, but if people go there, they can read it all for themselves. But that's basically what happened. She died, obviously, in 1997 and came through to me on September the 7th, 1997. Has been with me ever since.
You know, one of the wonderful
things... Members of mine initially, through voice channeling, helping them with their relationship issues, et cetera, et cetera. And then in 2005, suddenly said, right, I want to go broader. I'm ready now. So then it's taken off with the website, and from there, different interviews.
Okay, I'm having trouble hearing you again, but we'll just do the best we can here. One of the things that I really enjoyed about your book, Rose, The Princess and the Peon, An Uncommon Conversation with the Late Princess Diana, is that you really described the processes that you went through in terms of your channeling Princess Diana. And one of the things that you asked over and over again is, why me? So I'm going to ask both of you, why you, Andrew, and then Rose, why you?
Well, I asked Diana that, and she just gave me her answer. She always said in life, why not you? Could have been anyone. But I think that I didn't have, as I say, this one connection with her was 91 when she nearly knocked me down in her car. And as she said, that was a sign that both of us human at the time, we didn't realize, but that was the sign the connection was made while she was in life. But why me? I can't answer that. I have no idea. Just feel humbled that I have been one of the ones chosen.
And Rose, what is your answer to that particular question?
Well, initially when I was searching for that answer, the only thing that I could come up with, and finally my friends said to me the same thing that Andrew Cannon came up with, why not you?
Mm-hmm.
But I think initially I thought it was because I had connected with my guides the evening of her death, and I just kind of felt like maybe because my energy was out there into the spiritual realm that it was available mm-hmm. for a connection with her. That it was just sort of a random act of some cross-connection, let's say.
But both of you have abilities way before you connected with Diana, correct?
Yes.
Now, I, not as long as Andrew. Andrew had been open since a child. Mm-hmm. I had only been about maybe 3 to 4 years of understanding what it was I could do.
And do you want to explain what you can do? How the energy, because I think that we all channel differently. I think that the energy comes through in a very different way for each of us according to our own abilities. So what is it for you? How does it come through for you, Rose?
It comes through as a heavy thought voice
mm-hmm.
that in some ways I also almost see it scroll. The word scroll across the inner side, insides of my eyelids, almost as a ticker tape. And then there may be even at some points
I will begin to gesticulate, and it's more like it becomes more seated into me, and I'll even pick up some mannerisms and occasionally some accents, some things like that. But predominantly, it's just a heavy thought voice that I repeat.
Mm-hmm.
And once I get rolling, it just comes directly right straight through me.
And how about you, Andrew? How does the information come in for you as well?
From Diana, just straight voice. It started with, in Gran Canaria, I was used to doing Cheng, which was my first guide, and still with me, God bless. And that was always automatic handwriting. And then this one day, the 7th of September, I was due to give a Cheng reading, and it wasn't Cheng's voice that came out as I was doing the writing. And then she introduced herself, and it was like, oh, God. Like, she'd just been buried the day before, and it was like, whoa. So it comes through literally voice.
Now, how is it? There's a lot of people out there, not a lot, but there's a handful of people out there that are channeling Princess Diana. Why do you think that is? Like, what do you think is going on across the realm with her that she really wants to get across to a lot of people, apparently?
Well, it was explained to me in 1997 probably within 2 months of her death, that I would not be the only sole person that she spoke to, that she would use voices, that she would use more than one. And that she wanted to weave a tapestry of voices. Because if there was a lone voice, it would be too open to ridicule and derision. But if she could get her thoughts heard by enough people, and those people ultimately could connect, verify, validate each other, and people could, you know, the world could see the common threads running through these different people's channelings, that it would only point to one seamstress for that tapestry.
Mm-hmm.
So it was her way of making sure people knew, hey, I'm here and I'm talking.
Mm-hmm. And Andrew, do you get derision? I mean, do people believe you, not believe you? Do you get hate emails, that kind of thing? Or what is happening with this information that you are giving out?
Initially, when I went on another site on the net, there were people saying it was a travesty that I was proclaiming to channel her. I was called mad and worse. And Diana just told me, well, you're just experiencing what I did. Carry on and make them step up and think. Because actually, I've got things to say. I'm going to say them. I'm misrepresented, misunderstood, and, you know, I'm very clever. I'm going to be my voice to a guy. Now, if you were a blonde bimbo head with blue eyes and fluttering them, then maybe they could laugh. But a brunette guy coming on with my voice, that'll give them something to think about.
Yes, sex change operations do happen on the other side. Probably in a much easier way, huh? Why do you suppose that Diana is so intent on getting information out? In other words, what is it that she wants to say? Like, what is the crux of your book, Rose?
Well, my book actually goes, you can see sort of a progression, evolution, whatever term you want to put to it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the beginning of it, when I first connect with Diana and am doing the transcripts, you see very much the human wife, mother, princess.
Mm-hmm.
And over the 16 months that I talked with Diana and made these transcripts, you see her rising somewhat out of her and her former life into what could be. And I think she began to start formulating a work for taking the work that she had done here and still doing it, still directing it, still working for those things and even more from that side.
Okay, so what is she working for?
Well, if I, she's really interested in, you know, changing the way, I mean, she covers many things. She would like to see somewhat not the monarchy changed, but maybe the way the interaction is with, between the people and the monarchy. She would like to see her humanitarian work continue and to grow in the ways that she would have liked to have done it had she stayed here. She is working, not so much did she mention this in my book, but she's working through Marsha McMahon with some of the world peace issues. So she's got a lot of things that she wants to accomplish. And one of the main reasons that she tells me that she wants to connect and work at some of these is to kind of work at setting up the kingdom the way it you know, the way she would want it to be, or a better way for when her son takes reign.
Andrew, are you with us?
Mm-hmm.
Can you channel Princess Diana and ask her to come through directly to speak about what her intent is, what she wants the world to know most about from her perspective on the other side?
My work was interrupted when I was doing considerably good work, and I feel very cheated about the obvious, and I'm determined that truth about that comes out, which has not as yet. And I will, after that, concentrate on continuing the work that I was determined to achieve had I been allowed to do so. I also want to bridge the gap between the people and the monarchy, as I tried to do, as I did do when I was alive. But I still feel that there's work in that area which I can do. And it's very important, I think, that my words on the Panorama interview were, she won't go quietly. And that's my main point. I haven't gone anywhere. I'm still very much here with a lot of things to say, a lot of things to do, and now with an understanding that I can do them in a greater way and in a more powerful way than I could have done, ditto, alive.
Is it okay if I ask her a question? Thank you. Thank you for that, Princess Diana. Is it all right, Andrew, if I ask her a question?
Absolutely. You can ask me direct, not Andrew.
How is it that you were willing to leave your two sons behind?
In the earthbound way, I wasn't. This is something that people are going to have to realize, that spiritually, it was my time. I've learned now that I was doing good work, as in good, whilst I was alive. So I was preparing my way. But I didn't realize that at the time. But that's why, of course, the connection was made with Mother Teresa, who, of course, followed me. And it was all connected. But as Diana Princess of Wales, I had no idea I was going to leave my boys. Last thing I wanted in this world, and the last thing they needed. And I'm still extremely angry, naturally, resentful, naturally, and non-forgiving. And I've said this before, and I'll reiterate it. People tend to think, because I'm in spirit, I will be compassionate and forgiving to those who robbed me from my children. And all I have to say to that is, a mother robbed of her children finds forgiveness extremely hard, especially when those responsible for it have not been nailed.
This is for both of you, both Rose
from what you've heard, and also Andrew, and I'll ask Rose first. Rose?
Yes.
What was the reason behind her death? Was there a scam or some type of conspiracy to kill her?
Well, I think if you're talking on spiritual levels, as she intimated through Andrew, it was her time, and by leaving this world, as she did, or when, well, not only when she did, but as she did, it catapulted the world's attention to what she had been doing, her humanitarian works and things like that. And many took up and picked up the flags that she had dropped that probably wouldn't have if she had not left. So I think spiritually there, as I was explained to by my guides and Diana eventually, there was a reason that she needed to leave as she did when she did. On the physical world level, she intimates that she, you know, that there may have been hands in her leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Were they orchestrated by spirit to do the thing that needed to be done? You know, I'm still out on that verdict.
Andrew? Are you there? Andrew?
Hello?
Was there a conspiracy?
Well, I can answer that, not Andrew. Yes, there was.
Princess Diana?
Of course.
Was there a conspiracy?
Well, I was humanitarian, but I was involving myself in highly political situations, landmarks. They are, after all, made by and supplied by the U.S. and British government. And suddenly, to not be seen as warmongers, they had to be seen to be banning them. Well, if I had that kind of power, which I did have, albeit on a humanitarian level, because I was not political myself, which is why, of course, I was able to enter these spheres. I was dangerous. But it was marvelous camouflage, of course. But also, I was entertaining a relationship that hadn't been welcomed either. But, as I say, a marvelous camouflage. I was dangerous. People listened. People sat up and took stock, because I wasn't a politician. If you turn on the television, you've got a party political broadcast. Some people will watch it. Most people will turn it off and watch the other side. When I spoke, people sat up and listened. So I was an extremely useful tool for whichever cause I was representing or I wanted to see represented. Because I was loved, liked. Not by all, of course not. Not by those on the higher rung of the ladder, because I was seen to support those on the lower rung. But I actually always stayed on the middle rung because of my voice. I had a connection with the top rung, though I never felt comfortable on that top rung, and I was never acceptable on that top rung. Hence, I was always seen, as I said, as a non-starter. As I've also said in life, I always had the feeling I would never be queen of the country. I knew it, but I also knew, and I didn't know why, that I had a purpose to serve, and I've already said this, so I don't want it to sound as if I'm just reiterating something written, but I already said that I realized that it was going to be a hard struggle, but I was going to do it, but I didn't realize just how hard, and I didn't realize what avenues it would lead me into, but of course, doors were open to me as Diana, Princess of Wales, that otherwise would have been closed, which, again, we're back to spirit. It was all destiny that I had to indeed marry the Prince of Wales and even be divorced from him to have those doors opened.
Thank you. Thank you, Princess Diana. So it is my understanding that you were gaining, Princess Diana, enough power to initiate changes in the monarchy towards
equaling the playing field with the common person. And that in itself was becoming a threat. Am I understanding this correctly?
Absolutely.
So that was going to create a great deal of changes. Now, let me understand something. If that was going to create a great deal of changes politically, how is it that Spirit would orchestrate your death? Why didn't they let those kinds of changes continue? Or is there something that I'm not understanding? Because one of the things that you both are talking about is that she's much more powerful on the other side of the veil. So can you spell that out for me? Like, how is it that Spirit didn't leave her on this side of the veil so those changes could snowball of equality? And it's the same question I've got about for myself about JFK as well. And allow that to happen. Like, why didn't Spirit allow that to happen? It's just so incredibly needed. Princess Diana?
I'm thinking. It's difficult. The changes would have been so monumental that they wouldn't have been acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
They would have been so alien. The monarchy is built on tradition. It's built on protocol. It's a uniformity. And it would take much more than even me to change centuries of something if I'd been left on the earth plane. Because I had enough enemies. They would just say, well, she talks a lot of psychobabble, as they did, and shut her up, put her away somewhere, and not reported speeches I made or whatever. The media machine, Palace machine, would have got in on the act. But they can't really shut me up now, can they?
Well, thank you for that. No, they cannot. They can't. Okay, they can't shut you up. So thank you for answering both of those questions at once. So that is why you're so much more powerful on the other side. Yeah, because you could come through. And, of course, we could all, including the audience, we could all say, well, you know, they're crazy, blah, 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 and discount the information. However, I think what is occurring, especially in our culture right now, is so much more awareness and so much more openness to people's intuitive gut levels responses within themselves. So people inside of themselves are becoming much more connected to their own abilities, to intuition, to psychic channeling, to clairvoyance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So people are becoming open and believing. So I bet that is why, or part and parcel, that is why Diana, Princess of Wales, is so much more powerful now, is because our belief system is changing. Is that correct?
That would be one of the reasons, I would say, but also, as I kind of had talked about earlier, in the moment that she died, it turned the world's attention to everything. Not that the world's attention hadn't been on the landmine issues because Diana was there, but, for instance, 1 year after her death, her memorial fund had accumulated $137 million to aid her causes, which was $114,000 on an average coming in a month.
Incredible.
Diana, as a person walking this earth, had power.
Mm-hmm.
But the memory, the memorial of Diana, the icon, has even more power. And that's not even touching Diana, the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it also.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
And
that
the fact
legacy
that she is trying to prove through Andrew, Marcia, I, and I'm sure there are others out there that we just have not hooked with yet.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm.
that she is speaking to the world through not one crazy person, but that's why she went. She told me she would be weaving a tapestry so that it couldn't be as discounted and the voices could not be ridiculed as strenuously.
Mm-hmm. How about your own process? And you talked a bit about that in the book, and I really so appreciate your struggle with accepting and determining this information as valid for yourself. How about your process of believing and validating this information? Can you talk about that, Rose? I found that very interesting.
Well, needless to say, even though I had been working with the realm of spirit, and
mm-hmm.
as in my own spirit guides, and had been working with delivering information to other people from their spiritual support teams,
mm-hmm.
it still was a blow away to suddenly realize or to think that I was talking to Princess Diana the night she died. It just wrapped my head completely sideways. But my heart kind of knew because of what she said and the things she said about her children. And my heart knew, my head was blown away. But as I continued to speak with her, which helped prove to the logical side of me, what I call my head, that this wasn't a one-time quirky grief-induced glitch, that she was giving me things, like, for instance, she spoke about a second car 2 days after her death. And yet, nowhere on the media had anything been said about a second car at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And even I, when she was talking about this, I'm going, what are you, you know, you who, what car? There, you know, there was nothing. And I actually quit watching TV and listening to radio because I didn't want anything coming through to bias what I was, quote, hearing.
I understand. I do that, too.
Yeah. So I would take the transcripts or the sessions and you know, the transcripts and hand them out to friends. I had two very trusted friends. And I said, okay, you guys are watching the TV and the news. I want you to do that. See if anything's coming through that I'm getting that's coming through. Well, 2 weeks. Or 3 weeks, I don't remember the time frames now, it was a substantial little amount of time before suddenly they're talking about the investigators had figured out there had been a second car involved.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I went, aha. Again, the same time period, I was told ahead of time that the bodyguard would awaken when the information coming through the media was they didn't know if he would survive. So this is what changed me to understand and to believe, yes, this is she. My heart knew it from the beginning, but I needed proof.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my proof.
So how do you feel about the information now? In other words, are either one of you, Andrew, are you afraid? And excuse me, Princess Diana, but I'd like to have Andrew back. Thank you. Are you afraid about your well-being or your safety?
Am I? Well, Diana's told me that, like, she will protect me.
Mm-hmm.
So, in that way, no. But humanly, I have to say, well, I think I'd be an idiot if I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, I'm thinking, well, at the end of the day, I'm only like the telephone operator putting the call through. I mean, it's like, what can they do? I mean, I am literally just the medium, the one in between.
Mm-hmm.
Am I scared? I mean, when I think about it, yes. But then I think, well, would I have been given this, one, if it wasn't going to be successful, and two, if it was going to put my life in danger, and that sort of would go against everything that Diana stood for. So, mm-hmm. I'm like thinking, well, no, not really. I mean, I don't think she put me in a firing squad, or me as a sitting duck. I mean, it wouldn't really ring true to her. So, it's a yay and nay. What I am more scared of is like a pro-Diana freak ditto who hates what I may do so much, they take a pot shot at me.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a bit freaky. But again, Diana has said, look, you're safe. So, you know, that's it. And I've got no reason to doubt her. But humanly, of course, you have a cracky, you know, especially when I've been given stuff which has gone on the site about Paris and everything. I'm thinking, my God, can I really write? You've got to write that because that's what she's channeled through. So it goes on there. It's her site.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. And if you're going to start, well, I can print that, but I can't put that, and I can put this, and you're doctoring it, and then it's not Diana anymore.
Right. Right. So you can't edit her. Yeah.
Hmm.
And how about you, Rose?
Well, when she first asked me to do a book, I had fear, but not so much about my life as to whether I could do a book. But then it did dawn on me, I'm thinking, well, if, like, her first sentence to me was, quote, you know, and it was for this reason that I feel I was killed. So it dawned on me, whoa, if what she's saying to me is true and she was indeed killed, are they going to be too happy with the person who's talking to her?
Right.
So, you know, I had to weigh that a little bit, and it's part of why it took me, after I was finished speaking with her, it took me 8 months to a year to decide to do the book. And mm-hmm. her coming back again and asking me to do the book. And finally, when I made that decision, it's like, you know what? No. We all got to die of something. You know, whether I live to be old and die, you know, or whatever, I'm going to do this thing because if she wants this out here and this is Spirit's work, I will have protection. And it, what's going to be is what's meant to be. And so once I decided to do the book, I kind of said bye-bye to the fear. I just put it into Spirit's hands.
That's wonderful. So you're completely out.
I'm completely out?
Meaning you're completely out with the information, the book. I imagine you're open to speaking engagements, et cetera, et cetera. But
well, I'm just really rolling on this, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished the e-book and put it up on my Diana site this past, well, in the end of 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And I did do a seminar about my work. Marcia and I did a seminar about our work with Diana. And, you know, it's really starting to roll for me. There was an inactivity for many years because nobody wanted to pick my book up, and I got discouraged. Marcia's the one who came forth and said, get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also given me more incentive having met Marcia and having met Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that what Diana told me, it was kind of like, oh, wow, more of what Diana told me 8 years ago, 7 years ago, is coming true. She told me there would be three of us, and a male would take the lead. And having met Marcia and then having found Andrews, who's a lot of what's on his website at dianaspeaks.com, dovetails and echoes, and, you know, you can see there is the same sort, you know, we cover too much of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me the courage to go, okay, now is the time to really push this.
Okay. You know, it reminds me that there is such an incredible acceleration right now in terms of Spirit wanting us to get out there and to do our work and to really have people become empowered and equal and recognize their abilities inside. That it's just an amazing period right now for growth in Spirit. It's just absolutely wonderful. Can you give your website out to the audience, please?
Are you speaking to me?
Yes.
Okay. It's www.angelfire.com/MB2, as in Matthew Broderick 2, /connecting_2 Diana, all lowercase letters.
Okay. Do you have a phone number you want to give out as well?
I can give my cell number, 513-706-5821.
Do you do private sessions as well?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And I was going to say, have you, Rochelle, do you do private sessions?
Yes, I do.
Have you, I've noticed in the last 6 months to a year, when during the private sessions that I do, how many people are being advised by their spiritual support team or being told of their gifts.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And how to work with them.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do.
It's really taken an escalation in the last year.
Yeah, it's just an amazing thing.
So it's okay,
really,
I thought maybe
cool.
That's what you meant when you said that.
Yeah, it's really very, very cool. Andrew, can you give out your website, please?
Yes, sure. Well, I can give it out for it. It's www.dianaspeaks.com.
And is there a phone number?
My point about all of this is that I aim to prove, and I am proving, through Andrew, that does indeed exist life after death.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just die. So when people now connect with their loved ones, they really do connect with their loved ones.
Is that
and
the type of work, Andrew, that you do as well?
My focus point is to give this inner nourishment and this confidence,
mm-hmm,
and this comfort that whoever you've lost, you haven't lost them at all. They are still very much with you. And more people are becoming aware so that they will believe. And that, of course, is very important. And literally it's been very important for some people to know I'm still very much around, which, of course, they are realizing, hearing me now, speaking through Andrew. There's proof in the pudding, really.
Hmm. Thank you, Princess Diana. Excuse me for interrupting. Andrew, if I could have you back for a second, do you do private sessions for people?
Never done it. Well, saying that, no, I started, as I say, I was doing Cheng readings, and then Diana came through, but I haven't done it as on a professional basis, no. How can I say about this? My personal feeling, and another psychic friend of mine said, well, this is ridiculous, but my personal feeling has always been, hang on a minute, you didn't go to school to study this, you didn't take exams to pass this, so what gives you the right to charge for a gift, because a gift is a gift? But then a psychic friend of mine said, yeah, but if you get a plumber to come in and fix your water pipes, he charges you for the time and experience. So I'm in a quandary. It's a difficult one.
Yeah, I think it's a quandary that we all go through.
I was going to say, I went through the same thing, and
yep,
for several, for probably 3 to 4 or 5 years, I did sessions all free.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that at one point I had to take a day off of my day job per week to handle the requests.
Right.
And it was at that point when I said, okay, Spirit, I'm going to take a day off my day job to do this. And so I'm, you know, and I talked with my guides because it was a thing that weighed heavily on me too, because initially I was told to give as I had been given. And that equated to me free.
Mm-hmm.
But they made me see that if I were indeed going to continue to do the work that I had chosen to come to do, that I would have to a certain point, support myself, even though, as they said, those who serve shall always be served.
Mm-hmm.
So I do charge, but far less than most people. At least in my area.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you think of it this way, even the African tribes give a fish to the shaman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's got to be some equality here.
Well, and it's an exchange of energy.
Absolutely.
Anytime you have an exchange of energy, it's almost like people feel it's more valid.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going to say. People will pay for something, but then you've got to be spot on the ball, otherwise they'll sue you or goodness knows what. But if you're giving it free, it's like, oh, yeah, well, if he gets it wrong, he gets it wrong. And if he gets it right, well, good, that's a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't got the same interest. That I can appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I found when I was giving it away free, I would have, for instance, Betty Sue would call, and then she'd go, oh, yeah, and put down my three sisters. When I started charging, I found that it was the people who were more really, really serious about spiritual seeking or really seeking spiritual answers for problems in their life that were willing to come forward and lay down the money because they were sincere.
Right.
Prior to that, when it was free, it was a curiosity thing.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to bode well for both of you to charge for this very important work of Princess Diana. Now,
well, I don't charge for Diana work, per se. I charge for my private session.
Well, you charge for your books, too, which I think...
Yeah, and I've tried to keep that as low as I can go.
Yeah, I think that's important. So I want to get back to Princess Diana and just talk for a few minutes here about the main points of information that she would like to get out there. What would she like the public to know most about today?
Ask Diana.
Okay. Well, do you have a statement, Rose, that you could share?
Her closing words, I think, are very powerful, but it is rather lengthy. But I'll kind of paraphrase some and then read the actual very last words.
Mm-hmm.
She's talking about the fact that when she was here, she was working on making the fairy tale more believable by doing some of the things that she was doing. And that she is able to foresee the future. And if everyone had shared, if everyone could share the love that they had aimed at her when she made the world stage, the attention and the adulation that she had, if they could turn it to one another, that there would reach a critical mass of love and giving to the point where the world, as she says it, there are many ways that I could explain the joy. The most colorful one is that when the earth reaches that critical mass situation, then all of the stars in the heavens will bow to the beauty of light that is reflected from the earth's surface by those who glow with light of God's love and wisdom. It is a beautiful light to see, and this is what I want for all of my children, the world that I loved, and the realms of spirit. And she started talking, too, about making people aware that we weave our lives. We create our life, whether people are cognizant of that fact or not. And that if everyone were to work on weaving their own, and she uses the term frock, that there would ultimately be a beautiful frock woven for the world. And let me just read the very last part here. I am now well satisfied that I've made my comments clear and accurately enough that all may know that I can be found working upon your world from my own world. There is no doubt within those who truly knew my ways of thinking. There is no doubt within the one whom has chosen to be the fingers to write my words. There will be no doubt as the world changes and the world sees the truth of my statements coming to fruition. There will be no doubt from those who have also spoken to me once they have the lead of these words from my assistance upon your world. Those who have doubt will need to look hard within themselves to where this fear comes from and why they resist so thoroughly the words that have been given from this world to that one. As each gazes into their own reflection, may they see the light of their soul reflected back to them to soothe their fears and their doubts. The soul will lead if you will only follow. It was also a lesson that I could have used when I walked among those of your world. This is what I leave you with for the weaving of that beautiful party frock that will enhance the beauty of the world that you now live in. May God and grace be our light to undo the darkness of fear. Diana.
Yeah. It's all about becoming the energy.
Coming together and correcting some things that have been needed correct for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, can we have Princess Diana come back?
Mm-hmm.
Princess Diana, what would you like the world most to know about? And how can we all become proactive in creating the peace that you wanted? Rose?
Yes.
Anything else that Princess Diana would like to talk about before we close today?
Oh, I didn't know you were speaking. I thought you were speaking to Diana.
Could be you or Andrew. Or Princess Diana, excuse me.
I believe she's saying that there are no greater things that could be accomplished than through the things that have been given in the past, and that her work through her voices will be seen to be a greater woven tapestry than has yet been seen, and that I am greatly enamored of the idea that as my work spreads, it shall save these lives.
Mm-hmm.
For there will be many who will listen.
Yes. I think that's what's happening now. All right. Well, I really, truly want to thank both of you for being on this show. It's just been a remarkable experience. And I wish you so much love and blessings in your work. And we're going to give out your websites one more time and let people know how they can get in touch with you. Andrew, you first.
Right. Well, I'd just like to say yes, please, because I'm finding that a lot of people who have misunderstood a number of issues, including about the monarchy, can find their answers if they just do bother to go to the channeled messages section, which are my messages, direct, unedited, on www.dianaspeaks.com.
And Rose, your website? We just got a minute more.
www.angelfire.com/mb2/connecting_2_Diana.
And next week we are going to have Chris Moon, publisher of Haunted Times magazine, with us, and he is going to be doing EVPs, tape recordings of people who have passed on to the other side. So thank you very much for joining us, and look forward to meeting you again all next week. Have a great evening. Thank you, Don, our wonderful producer, and God bless you both. Love you, love you, love you. Take care, and have a very good evening, and thank you again for joining us. Bye-bye now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.